take your Bibles now, if you go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Read verses 4 through 6, and then we'll read verses 14 and 15. We'll read them responsively this evening. I'll read verse number 4. You'll join me on verse 5. John chapter 13, the Bible says in verse number 4, "He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Go down to verse number 14 and read this verse with me. "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." And let's also read verse number 15 in unison. "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now. Lord, we need you this hour. Lord, we thank you for our preacher. We thank you for his faithfulness to you. Lord, we thank you for his dedication and his stand that he takes. Lord, tonight as we gather around your word, it's still the same book, and you're still the same Lord that's always been. Lord, I'll take this truth that you have prepared for us. Lord, please speak through me to the hearts of these people, and we ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated. John chapter 13, we find a very interesting story. We find that Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed, and from there he'll end up on Calvary, and his time on earth is coming to an end. And right before he finds himself being betrayed, we find the master doing a very unusual observation of servanthood. It's not common. This was the servant's job. It was the hired hand's job to make sure that those who were in the house were comfortable. The master of the home, it was his job to enjoy the company of those whom he brought to his house. But here we find Jesus, having lived his life on earth, serving others, serving and showing his disciples how to serve. And he takes one more time and he pauses and he says, "All right, fellas, take off your shoes." And he begins to wash their feet. Peter asks the question, "Why are you washing my feet?" You see, they understood what that meant. This was the servant's job. This wasn't an important job for somebody who was of an elite status to be doing. It was just a commoner's job. And yet we find Jesus Christ washing his feet. We find Jesus' answer in verse number 14. He says, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. What was he saying? He says, if I am your master, which is what you called me, and if I am washing your feet, you should do likewise. In verse number 15, he virtually repeats this statement. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. The same thing that I have done with my towel. I have taken my towel and I have washed your feet. It's the same thing that I want you to do with your towel. Very interesting. This is not the only time we find Jesus Christ with a towel. There are three different things that we find in the scriptures that Christ does with a towel. All three of those things I'd like to draw your attention to this evening. But before I get to those three things, if I may, I'd like to make five statements about this evening's message. Number one, Jesus' life was more than a life of miracle working. His life was to show us how to live by faith. When we look at Jesus Christ's life, why did he perform those miracles? It wasn't for his own glory. It wasn't for his own benefit. It was for the benefit of those who would be healed. It was for the benefit of those who would see the healing being done, and it was for the benefit of his Father. It was to draw glory and attention to the ability of his Father. Yes, he performed many miracles, but the purpose of those miracles was to teach you and I and those at that time the importance of living a life by faith. Statement number two, Jesus' life was more than a sinless life. His life taught us how to overcome human and fleshly temptation. Jesus Christ lived the same exact life that you and I lived. He lived our life for us. He did it perfectly, though. He did it without sin. He showed us that it is possible to have victory over sin. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He has overcome them. And because Christ has overcome those temptations, we as well can overcome those temptations. Statement number three, Jesus' life was more than a scripted life written by his Father. His life showed us how we could reach our fullest potential by being used of God to make a difference in the lives of others. Jesus Christ had a free will, but he chose to submit his will to the Father. We'll see this in just a minute, but there were several times in his ministry where Jesus Christ would pray, "Let thy will be done, not mine." See, in our lives, we need to understand that God has a plan for our lives, yes. But our lives are not written down every day, the tasks exactly as we should be done. Jesus Christ lived that example, and he showed us that the best way to make a difference with our lives is to allow him to dictate what we should do and to yield ourselves to him and obey him. Statement number four, Jesus' life was lived to show those who followed that they could live an obedient life. You can obey. As a child, I always heard the statement that I always said, it's not that easy. But as you get older, when you begin to understand, it really, in its truest form, is not that difficult. You just obey. He lived that life of obedience, showing us that we were to just obey, and that it was not that difficult to simply do that which the Father had said. And here in John chapter 13 and verse number 15, he states, "I have given you an example." He says, "The last 3.5 years of my ministry have been an example to you. This action that I am performing now of washing your feet is an example to you. What I am about to do is going to be an example for you to follow." The first thing that we find Jesus doing with his towel is, number one, we find him fulfilling his duty in life. In John chapter 13, we read the story of Jesus washing. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garment, and he took a towel and girt himself. He poureth out water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girdled. Jesus takes that towel and he yet again fulfills the purpose for which he was placed here. This was not the first time that Jesus took on the role of a servant. Do you remember what Luke 19:10 says? The Bible tells us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." His sole purpose of coming to this earth was fulfilling his Father's will in his life. He fulfilled, and many times in the scripture that you read, it says, "For the scriptures must be fulfilled, for as it is written," or the fulfilling of the scriptures. Everything that Jesus Christ was done, he did to fulfill his Father's will. How did his fulfillment come to pass? Well, first of all, we find that he had compassion. He saw people's humanity. Jesus Christ was able to see people for who they really are. How many times do we find Jesus Christ being criticized for sitting with the Pharisees, for sitting with the publicans, for sitting with the sinners, for sitting with the lowlife? Here we find the religious crowd walking around in their garb and in their intellectualness, in their eloquence. We find them looking down at Jesus, but Jesus said, that's the reason I came. The whole need not a physician, but those that are sick need a physician. He said, I came to have compassion. I came to be an example to show you how you are to live your life. You are to have compassion. How else did he fulfill his Father's will? Well, he had patience. I don't know how Jesus did it. He had a member of the IRS on his staff. He had three fishermen, good old country boys. He had a doctor. And we find he also had a traitor amongst him. But yet never one time do you find there being a strife or a rift between Jesus Christ and his staff and his disciples. Jesus Christ was patient. How many times do we find Peter opening his big mouth, sticking both feet in it, and Jesus Christ kindly reaching out and being there to help him? How many times did the disciples watch Jesus take a few loaves and a few fishes, break them and feed the multitudes, and the next day they were wondering, where are we going to get the food from? Well, he doesn't get angry with them. He just says, "Oh, ye of little faith, don't you remember what we did yesterday?" Over and over and over again, he reminds them of who he was. Several times the disciples find themselves on a boat in the midst of a storm. The first time Christ was with them, he was in the storm with them in the bottom of the boat sleeping. And the disciples were afraid and they begin to worry for their life, and they go and they wake Jesus Christ, and he begins to still the winds and the seas. And they said, "What manner of man is this that the winds and the seas obey his voice?" He was patient with his disciples. How many times do we find his patience with those that were around him? How many times do we find those that followed Christ, maybe that weren't his disciples, but they would try to keep the blind man from getting to Jesus? How many times do we find people trying to keep the little children from getting to him? But what does he say? He says, "Suffer them not, but bid them to come unto me." He said, "Bring them close." He was patient with those who were around him. Not only was he compassionate, not only did he have patience, but he was also just. You remember the woman that was caught in adultery? Remember what he said? "He who is without sin may cast the first stone." He looked at the mockers. He looked at the scorners time after time after time and said, "Look, we are all sinners. There is not a single one of us," one of you, as he would have been saying it, "that are not sinners. And if you're not without sin, cast the first stone." His justice. He showed us how we could have compassion one for another. He showed us how we could be patient one with another. And he showed us how we could use biblical justice in when dealing with one another's faults. The first thing that Jesus did with his towel is he fulfilled. The second thing, take your Bible and go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Verse number 30. The second thing that Jesus Christ does with his towel is he finished. He finished. He didn't throw in the towel. John chapter 19 and verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He didn't quit. Those of you that don't like boxing, I'll apologize now. I don't think it should be legal, but until it's made illegal, I'm going to watch every match that I can. I enjoy boxing. There's just something about two knuckleheads getting into a ring and beating the stuffings out of them. It's just, I love it. It's wonderful. Now, in boxing, though, there's something they have. There's a tradition. Doesn't get used very often. But if a match gets too brutal, and if a coach, if an assistant thinks that their opponent is being too rough on their fella, and he thinks that there is no chance, that coach will take the towel and he will throw it in the ring, signifying the fight is over. Now, we find that Jesus Christ did not do that in his ministry. There were many times where he was despised. There was many times where he was mocked. There was many times where he could have been discouraged, but Jesus Christ finished what he came to do. He did not get discouraged when he was rejected. According to John chapter 1 and verse number 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Can you imagine? Some of you have tried. You've gone to your families. We said in Sunday school this morning, one of the hardest groups of people to reach and to serve is your family, because most oftentimes they don't understand why you do what you do. But he did not get discouraged when he was rejected by his family. He did not get discouraged when he was betrayed. In Matthew 26, in verse number 39, we find he is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we would think to believe that his heart at this point has already been broken, as he is sweating great drops of blood. We find in his prayer, he goes a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He was not saying, "God, I don't want to die now. I don't want," he was not saying, "I don't want to go to Calvary." He says, "I've got to make it to Calvary." He was already beginning to carry the load, the guilt of the sin. He was already carrying the weight of the betrayal of a friend. He was already beginning to see the end coming in near. He says, "If I die now, I've got to come back later and start the whole process over, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to die here with this broken heart. I need to make it to Calvary. I must finish what I have come to do." We find in Matthew 27:46 that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried aloud with a voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" This is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He did not get discouraged when he was forsaken by his own father. For the first time in history, the Trinity was split up. As Adam was separated from God in the Garden of Eden, so was Jesus Christ separated from his Father on the cross of Calvary. His own Father turned his back on his own Son and forsook him. Yes, Jesus Christ, the song is said, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He stayed there and he died alone. The Bible tells us here that in Matthew 26, he virtually quotes that, and he says, "I could call angels, I could call a legion of angels," but he chose to finish what he did. Remember what he said in John? He said, "I am an example." We find that being stated in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus not only fulfilled his duties while on earth, Jesus finished his duties. What is it going to take for you as a Christian to quit? Jesus is not going to put you into a match that you can't win.
That's right.
Why is that? Because every enemy that you will face, he has already defeated. We will never see the towel fly from his hand, because Christ never quit, and he commanded us to go thou and do likewise. If Christ is not going to quit, which I am thankful that he did not, what right do we have as Christians to quit when times get tough? What right do we have to quit when we get discouraged? What right do we have to quit when things don't begin to make sense in our own mind? Maybe that's why Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." See, Paul understood what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. And if you look at Paul's life, all the beatings, all the maliciousness that he took, all the difficulties that Paul went through, as many times as he was in prison, he gets to the end of his life and cheerfully he looks back across a rough background. He looks back across a difficult ministry and he's able to say, "I fought a good fight, but I finished. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith." What has Jesus done with his towel? Number one, he has fulfilled his Father's will. Number two, Jesus Christ has finished his duty here on earth. And lastly, in John chapter number 20, just a chapter over, look at verse number 6. I like this. John chapter 20 and verse number 6, "Then cometh Simon Peter following him, went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, the casual reader would look at that and go, okay, well, Jesus, you know, he tidied up the bed before he left. Let me give you an illustration. According to Jewish tradition, when the servant was to set the dinner table for the master, he was to make sure that it was exactly the way that the master wanted that table to be set. The table was to be finished and furnished perfectly. Then the servant would not leave the room. The servant would back away to a dark corner and would just wait. Just out of sight from everybody, he could not be seen by anyone, and he could not see anybody but the master. Once the master had finished eating, the servant would not dare touch the table until his master was finished. If the master was done eating, the master would rise from the table, wipe his fingers, his hands, his mouth. He would clean his beard. He would wad up that napkin and toss it on the table to signify that he was done with his meal. But if the master had a duty to perform, the master would then take the napkin and he would fold that napkin neatly up and he would place it by his dinner plate. He would get up and leave, and that servant would not move, because that folded napkin demonstrated the master was coming back. When Jesus Christ died, he took his towel and he folded it. You know what he was saying? He said, I am going to finalize this deal. I have lived the perfect life. I have served while on this earth. I have finished. I have been to Calvary, but I'm not done yet. I'm coming back. That master with that folded napkin, everybody else at that table might think that the meal was over with, but that servant knew that his master was not finished. And when Jesus Christ left, he said, with the significance of the folded napkin, he said, I'm not finished yet, that I am coming back. And one day Jesus will come back through the clouds to call his children home, where we will live with him forever and where we will reign with him eternally. You see, when Jesus left that tomb, he went to heaven and he finalized the deal. In Matthew 26, verse number 64, he says, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. That seat next to God in heaven was signifying that the job had been completed. You remember what Stephen said right before he left this earth? He said he was able to look up into heaven. He was able to see Jesus Christ. This time he was not sitting, he was standing next to God the Father. And Stephen said, Lay not this sin to their charge, for they know not what they do. Stephen gained strength through the stonings and through the beating. Stephen was able to keep his eyes focused on Jesus Christ and receive hope. And he, as a Christian, was able to fulfill and finish just as Christ had done, because of Christ's message of hope that one day he would return. In Hebrews 7:25, we find out that not only is he in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father, but he is ever interceding for you and I. It says in Hebrews 7:25, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. I am thankful that Jesus Christ is not just up in heaven, just sitting there twiddling his thumbs waiting for the day. When Satan accuses you to God the Father, Jesus Christ will make intercession for you. He is able to point to the blood and say, That is my child. That blood covers his sin. You can't hold him guilty to their actions. It has already been forgiven. They are justified. We find also in heaven, he's got it under control. He doesn't wake up in the morning and wonder what's going to happen. There are no uh-ohs or surprises with God. In Romans 8:28, we find out, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Jesus Christ's ministry on this earth was an example to all of us. Jesus Christ took that towel and he fulfilled his Father's request by washing the feet of his disciples, but by serving those with whom he came in contact with. Jesus Christ finished what he came to do. He did not leave one thing left undone. Jesus Christ fulfilled every bit of scripture. He finished and he did not throw in that towel. He also finalized. Jesus Christ in John chapter 20 left those napkins folded up neatly as a sign to the Jews to say, "Don't lose hope, I'm coming back one day." I want you to look at something now. Go back to John chapter number 13 and verse number 12. We've spent this last 25 or 30 minutes looking at what Jesus has done. But now comes the message very briefly. Look at verse number 15. "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Look at all that Christ has done for you. Many of you, if not most, if not all in here this evening, have been saved. You have been blood-bought. You're on your way to heaven. Many of you in here, you have a testimony maybe tainted with sin. You may not have lived the best life possible. But yet, here you are today, a testimony of God's grace. Somebody that God wants to use. You young people, you have not lived a life of sin. You have not yet lived and made any gross or big decisions that might taint your life or scar you. You have a decision to make. Jesus tells us in verse number 14, he tells us in verse number 15, excuse me, that as I have done, ye should also do. The title of this evening's message is Jesus in His Towel. I gave it a second title, What Are You Doing With Your Towel? Each and every one of you are still alive. You're still breathing. And God has given you a towel to use. Are you walking around with that towel tied around your waist for all to see that you're a Christian? Or are you using that towel for something beneficial? Are you fulfilling what God has for you to do in your life? Are you finishing what God has for you to do? The Nile River is considered the greatest river in the world. Why? Because it has a beginning and it has an end. It's not the straightest river in the world. In fact, there are times in the Nile River where you're going the opposite direction in which it originally started flowing. It's got bends and twists and turns. It didn't take the most direct route, but it made it to the end. You and I, as Christians, sometimes we find ourselves going the opposite direction in which we started. But that doesn't mean you have to quit. That doesn't mean that the race is over. That does not mean that there's nothing left for you to do with your life. You, like the Nile River, may have many twists and turns in your life, but you still have your towel. What are you doing with it? Are you finishing? Maybe you're sitting there tonight and you've looked at an area of your life where you said, maybe I've quit doing this. I have not been keeping up with this as I should. But that's okay, you're still here. Just turn it back around the other direction and get going again for God. He'll help you along the way. Each and every one of you have been given a towel. What are you doing with it? Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you finishing your race? Are you giving others hope? Folks, if hope doesn't come from the church house, then where is it going to come from? You and I have the good news this morning, this evening. You and I know what the Bible says. You and I have this truth. The Bible says we are to be a light that is set on a hill. We are to be a light to the world. You and I, our smiles, our energy, our excitement, and the message that we bring should be a testimony to a discouraged and a disgruntled and a hell-doomed world. You and I have the ability to bring hope to this world. So instead of sitting around looking at the worldliness of the world, because that's what they're going to be, because that's who they are, why don't we take the good news that we have? Why don't we take our towel, go into the world, and give them hope today? Jesus was our example. He showed us that it is not always easy, but he showed us that it was possible. How do I know that I can finish? Jesus Christ finished. He is our example. He gives us men in the Bible like the Apostle Paul. He gives us men in the Bible like Stephen. He gives us men in the Old Testament like David. He gives us men in the Bible like Abraham, who did not live perfect lives, who did not live sinlessly, but they finished their course. Grace Baptist Church, we have a great work ahead of us. We are poised and ready for greatness. You've heard pastors say it. We are excited. The news is out that something is going on here. But are you a part of it? Every one of us are working diligently day after day after day to do our part. But are you a part of the team? Are you making the visits? Are you knocking on the doors? Are you being a witness? Are you being a servant? Are you doing your part? You say, I don't have much to offer. That's okay. He doesn't need much. He just needs what you have. Look at the widow's mite. It was just a little, but she gave the greatest. He doesn't need a whole lunch. He just needs 5 barley loaves and a few fishes, and he can feed the multitudes. He does not need fancy. He does not need charisma. He does not need intellect. All he needs is a willing body who is willing to take the towel that he has given them and use that for his purpose. What are you doing with your towel? Every head bowed and every eye closed. The message this evening was simple. Jesus and his towel. He fulfilled his Father's will by serving those around him. What is your limitation on service? Have you put a limitation? I'll do anything but this, God. Well, tonight's the night to say, God, I will not limit you in my life, and I will do whatever you want me to do, regardless of how fearful I may be about it. I will step out by faith. Jesus Christ finished. Have you quit tonight? That's okay. Get up. Get going again. The race is not to the swift nor the strong. It's to the faithful, to the persistent, to those who don't quit. Jesus Christ finalized. He folded his napkin neatly to signify to the world that he was coming back. He went to heaven and he finished what he came here to do. Who are you giving hope to this week? What family member may be discouraged that you can bring hope to? What lost person you may meet along the way this week that you can encourage and bring hope to in this world? If you're here this evening and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the first thing you need to take care of. If you've already been saved and you have not been baptized, that's the next thing you need to do. That's the first step of obedience by faith. Thirdly, if you have not joined this church, then join. Get a part of a team that's going somewhere. We're excited and we'd love to have you. If you're already a part of this team, are you doing your part? What are you doing with that towel?